Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am just thrilled. I'm usually uber excited, but I'm thrilled. This guest has been on the show 15 times before, but this is number 16. His name is Mark S.A. Smith, and he is coming to us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the United States because he's been put into the witness protection program. Isn't that right, Mark?
Actually, it's the witless protection program.
So, man, how you doing?
I am so good. It's always great to be on the Bacon Podcast, my friend. You and I fry up some seriously cool ideas. I love the inspiration. Thanks for having me back on the 16th appearance. I promise to get it right this time.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, you know, if you try hard enough, we're kind of like Thomas Edison and the light bulb. You know, the more we try, it took him 1,000 times to get it right. So we've got 84 more times to try, I think.
That's good. We've got a lot of life ahead of us.
So. Yes, we do.
Let's get to helping our friends make money.
That's right, because math is hard. But anyways, I wasn't kidding because I've been speaking to you for years, but you're no longer in Las Vegas. What happened?
I'm not. I decided to become a digital nomad, and we can do that now. So I now live out of my car with a Thule. No, it's not like I'm camping. I actually go from Airbnb into Airbnb, and I'm in a location between 2 and 4 weeks, seeing the sights. I'm an explorer by nature. I've always been exploring. I have millions of miles on airlines. I've been paid to work in 54 countries, been to 67 countries. And I just love exploring. Now that my kids are all grown up, they're out of the house, they're on their own, they don't need me anymore. Me and my wife decided to separate, although we're still together, but we're just living separate lives for a while so she can do what she wants to do and I want to do what I want to do. And I'm out exploring the world right now, exploring the United States. And because of what we've just been through, it's very easy to do. I can set up my entire digital studio anywhere that I happen to be. I have a number of cell phones that give me Wi-Fi access and cellular access so I can broadcast everywhere I go. I meet a lot of interesting people. I'm learning a lot of interesting things. And probably the most important thing is I have this marvelous appreciation for this country. We really have an amazing country full of people that are brilliant and loving and artistic. I can't believe the amount of art that I see as I travel around the United States. It's just local art, people doing their thing. It's fantastic.
That's very cool, man. And today we are going to be talking about kind of what your story is, but in the marketplace. And it's what I like to call follow the bouncing customer.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Because they're bouncing. You're right about that.
Yeah, they're moving. And so, you know, the fact that you no longer have a home base, I think that the culture of a lot of businesses is going to be the same. I mean, I've seen companies that have, you know, taken their entire team and spread them out to their homes, which I think Indeed. Is going to change the culture of the way that we do business. What have you seen?
Absolutely. I see us going back to the way it was 100 years ago, where we all operated out of our own little home base, and we made our money there, and we lived there, and we loved there, and we had a great life there. We no longer have to travel out of our house to get work done unless we provide personal services like a surgeon or a hairdresser or something of that nature. But if we're a knowledge worker where we're providing information, insight, sales, marketing services, all of that can be done from any where. And we're throwing off the yoke of having to show up in a central office, which was required back in the days when the telephone lines terminated in a building. But that's no longer the case. I haven't had a landline for 10 years. I've had my cellular telephone number for 30. And so it is no longer required that we have a specific physical location. Now, that said, somebody wants me to show up and do work in person, I'll be there. I can jump on an airplane. I can get in my car. I can be anywhere I need to be in 24 hours. So the great news is that I can work anytime, any place, anywhere, and so can everybody else. So the end result is, as long as you can provide valuable services and you can do so digitally, There's no reason for you to not live where you want to live and live the lifestyle you want to live. And I think that's a massive difference. And I tell you, Brian, I see probably the most impressive thing that I see changing is we people used to apologize. Oh, I'm working from home today. Mm. And the kids come in and the cat walks across the keyboard and the dog barks and the doorbell rings. And excuse me, I got to pick up that Amazon. Nobody cares about those interruptions anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't have to apologize for them. We are just living. You know, this is not the State of the Union address. We don't have to have it perfect. We just have to have it excellent. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot more people being happy because they're not spending hours in their car commuting in needless traffic that provides zero value to their life. Really, really good. Massive improvements.
Now, there's a couple of things or nuggets inside of this. Number one, I agree with you 110%. My wife has a job at a bank where during the COVID thing happening, they worked 1 week on, 1 week off. So there were times where I was in the middle of Zoom meetings where I would be sitting here and my wife would walk back and forth in a bathrobe and everybody, "Hi, Kim." So finally I went out and bought a green screen, you know, and put that up, just kind of, you know, stop that from happening, which is okay. You know, and the kids, I mean, you see this on TV interviews. I mean, where dogs walk up and kids walk up. I remember back, probably it was even a couple of years ago, with this guy in this suit and this tie was talking about this very, very, you know, prominent thing. And he was looking very, you know, professional in his office. And then all of a sudden the door opens up and the little girl walks in with the glasses and she's waving her arms and the baby comes in the stroller and mom comes in like, you know, a cartoon Bugs Bunny and kind of grabs the kids, pull them out. And it's like, you know, that was so weird, but now that's normal, right? Right.
That's as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're human beings living human lives and our families are the reason why we do what we do. Let's not pretend that it's not something else or that it is something else. And to me, this frees up so much cognitive capacity to be creative instead of locked into a system of thinking. Mm-hmm. That, to me, Brian, is probably the most delicious outcome of all of this. We are all free to be more creative.
Yeah, I agree with you 110%. I feel, you know, I've been doing the social distancing thing and working from home for 20 years. So I feel it and I can understand how other people feel it. Now, not to be a Debbie Downer, but there's, you know, kind of another side of that coin. And that is that our customers who we've worked with are going through the same kind of change. And so, for example, you know, somebody you work with at a company now, you may go and send them an email and the email bounces back and says that person no longer works here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have two different things going on. Number one, we have an established relationship with a company, but that relationship may 100% depend on the person that we're dealing with, not necessarily the company. Because if somebody else comes in and they have a relationship with somebody that does what you do, you're out, you know? So,
well, and let's bookmark that and have a conversation about how to fix that before the end of the show.
Absolutely. But then the other thing is, I think you got to follow the bouncing customer. I think you need to maintain the relationship. And one of the things that I found is, yeah, the email bounces, but their LinkedIn profile generally doesn't change.
That's right. And they usually announce when they have a new job. So you have to watch those announcements so that you can go back, "Hey, so you got a new job. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. What's your new email address?" Right?
Right.
So it just means that we have to actively nurture our relationships. We can't let it be on simmer on the back burner. This has to be front burner kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So that makes us more active, meaning that we have to pay more attention to what's happening in our world, what's happening in social media, and continue to maintain those relationships. Because when somebody takes on a new job, they may already have a pre-established company that does what you do, and it may take you a while to, you know, kind of inch your way into that culture because it's a completely different mm-hmm. business culture. So mm-hmm. I think that as business people, we've got to start to strategize about how we are going to do that actively, but not being overbearing.
Well, I think the good news is that most people, those who are not listening to the Bacon Podcast, haven't even thought of this. So, listener, you have an advantage over everybody else who is just coasting along going, what the hell just happened? And you know what happened. So put this as part of your routine where you can check in and find out where people are and how they're doing. And yes, I agree with you. The new company may have a vendor, but because of all the disruption, that vendor may have become a little shaky. They may not be doing as well as they used to be doing. And so if you have a solid relationship of being able to deliver, you may have a great opportunity of picking up new business when your key contact moves. Stay with that.
Absolutely. And I've been talking about this forever. It's called the 10-10-10 principle. And that is reach out to 10 people. So in other words, you pick 10 people, 10 minutes a day, 1 minute per person. Next thing is say 10 words. How are you doing? How can I help you? I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be exactly that word or that phrase, but it has to be something that just says, hey, I care about you. And what can I do to help you?
That's right.
You know, and that's it. You know,
it's enough.
Even if it's just listen, you know, maybe they just want to pick up the phone and talk. It's like, hey, yeah, I'm at this new company. I'm working virtually. It's really cool. I dig it. Yada, yada, yada. You know, I mean, the kids, we went to the Ozarks, you know, whatever.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely brilliant. All right, listener, write that one down too. The 10, 10, 10. And no, we're not stuttering. That's just 10, three tens.
Yes. Yeah, three tens. If you did that every single day for 1 month, you would hit 300 people.
Indeed.
I mean, And how many clients do you really need? I mean, you know, if you could talk to 300 people and 10% of those, you know, 30, would that get you business?
Yeah, for most listeners, yeah, you know, they can't handle more than 10 clients at a time.
Exactly. I mean, I can handle 4 to 6. That's my limit. And, you know, but in reality, 1% would be great. You know, so
yep,
you're paying attention and you're doing this on a regular basis, you know, and everything in what I talk about in marketing and what you talk about in business is relational.
That's right.
You know, we've talked before about what keeps CEOs up at night. Well, the fact that they could lose their job, right?
That's actually not true. What keeps them up at night is their teenage daughter.
Yeah, that too. Well, that keeps them up at night.
All right, but let's... Yeah. But yeah, the question that CEOs have running through their mind is, where shall I take the company next? Mm-hmm. Remember, the job of the CEO is to direct the business to where the customer money will be in the future. And that's what should be on your mind. And if, Brian, I think your 10-10-10 is brilliant because it allows you to reach out and sample 10 people every day to find out their state so that you can gather information to decide how you need to guide your company into the future. So this idea of we have to track the bouncing customer move is a critical concept if you're going to have the insight you need to direct your company to where you will thrive. Brilliant.
And that's, I think the, you know, you had a show called The Disruption Show.
Yeah, Selling Disruption Show.
Yeah. If you weren't predicting the future, I don't know who was. Right?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, disruption is something that has happened. And I think, you know, I had this thing that I started at the very beginning of the year. I said, don't panic, pivot. And, you know, the two words that people keep saying, I hate hearing the word pivot. And, you know, the other one is, we know what you're going through. You know, it's like, no, yeah, those are two words that drive people crazy. But the reality of it is, you've got to be able to understand what's in front of you and, you know, see clearly the way that the amoeba is moving. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard for us to get that as a up close panic view of, oh my God, I just lost, you know, 20%, 50%, 80% or 100% of my customers. Mm-hmm. What you've got to do is say, okay, how does what I do fit into this new paradigm shift? Right?
How do I create extraordinary value that my customers are craving?
Exactly. So how do we do that? That's the question.
Well, first of all, I think let's talk about the concept of pivot for a moment. The reason why pivot is such a powerful word is because it's the fastest adjustment you can make. It's the reason why our necks are on a swivel, because we can pivot our neck and we can take in a whole new view of scenery. And the idea behind Pivot is it's a process. It's not a switch. It's not like you flick a switch and there's an instant state change. Pivoting implies that you have some inertia that you're going to have to overcome, and you're going to have to direct that inertia to a different location. So, you know, don't resist the concept of pivot, because if you think it through, it's the perfect metaphor for what one has to do in the heart of change. So that I think is really important. Pick a different word. I don't care, but don't denigrate pivot, because it really is the power of the metaphor that we're working through. So how do we pivot? That's really the great question.
All right. So I agree with you on the pivot thing. I think, you know, it's one of those things that you have to look and view the world from a different perspective. That's really what it's about.
Yeah.
But
indeed.
I want the big takeaway from today. What do you feel that people need to be doing within the next month in order to maintain, grow, or reinvent their business? And again, reinvention is a word like pivot, but it's really about how do we find that one thing that we do that is going to provide that unbelievable value that people are going to pay us what we're worth.
All right, three things, three steps.
Okay.
Step number one is you've got to take an inventory of what you've got that is valuable and what you've got that is no longer valuable. And you've got to let go of the things that are no longer valuable. I know you just reworked your website to create more value and to downplay the things that people don't find valuable anymore. I think that's a really critical step. We have to take inventory. What do we have that we can talk about? The challenge that we face is in chaos, which we're all coming, trying to find the exit point to, people don't know what they want. They don't know what they need, other than they're trying to feel better. They're trying to find relief. And so by identifying what you have that has value, you can have conversations that potentially bring relief to our customers. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, you need to be on the leadership lookout for what is going to generate value now. And you do that through the 10-10-10 you just discussed. Let's have conversations with people to identify where they see the gaps. For me, a lot of the gaps are, how the hell are we going to conduct virtual meetings? Our national meeting is off. I don't think we're going to have a national meeting until 2021. Trade shows are canceled. So how are we going to conduct these mass meetings where most of the work was done in the hallway or over cocktails? How do we replace that buzz? Well, I've got some ideas. You've got some ideas. And there is a place where we can help generate value. One of my dear colleagues is doing exactly that for online meetings. He's essentially an online MC, and he helps facilitate those. Well, they're not in the hall anymore. They're just in chat rooms. But he facilitates that by asking people questions and entertaining them and keeping them motivated and connected. So that's just an example of where can you look for the gaps of the people you're working with. And then by making subtle adjustments to your offering, that's what you bring to the market. Then the third aspect of this is you've got to be looking at 12 to 18 months out at where can you direct your company with technology, with insight, with entertainment, with humor, understanding that people have a very short fuse and won't put up with crap anymore. So what can you be working on that will bring interesting value? So the combination of those three dots that you're going to connect, where you are right now, what you got right now, your customer's gaps in the right now too, that'd be a need seeking. What's the needs that your customers have? And then what can you be creating that'll generate new value for you in the future? Now, if you need help with that, let's have a conversation. Let's talk it through. Let's figure out how you can navigate that. Now, one of the challenges that we have, Brian, is that we don't know how good we are. Most people don't know how really good they are at what they do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to have an objective third party, like you, my friend, that can point out to me some of the things that I've got going on that I have really haven't put any value around. So I appreciate that role of a honest truth mirror in my life that says, Mark, you know, hey, why don't you do that? And so I think it's helpful to get a third party who doesn't know you that well and is going to ask the stupid questions to uncover the real value that you can bring to the market right now.
You know, one of the things that I say all the time, and I have, you talk about me redoing the website. I went and redid what I call my Baconisms. And Baconisms are things that I say in meetings or in speeches, or, you know, it's stuff that I say all the time. You know, people do business with people they know, like, and trust is the most basic one. But one of the core ones that you just kind of hit on, mm-hmm. is we're not in B2B sales, we're in H2H sales, human to humans.
Right on.
And that is the thing, is more important than ever before. The human empathy gene needs to be engaged on ultra hyperdrive right
Indeed. Now. And if you don't have that empathy, the you will be dropped like a hot potato.
Yeah, because you need to understand the circumstances around the person that you're talking to, and reaching out and touching people is exactly what you're talking about. Even though we do it virtually, in some places you can still do it physically, but, you know, slowly but surely that will start to unravel. But I think the time that we have right now is uber important to start to establish yourself as a good listener, as a good empathetic listener, somebody who can understand and make people feel like they are the center of attention, they're being heard, and they matter. I think that's really important.
Indeed, that they matter. What an important concept.
Thank you. So, based on the fact that you're in the witness protection program, it's not working very well, because I know people can find you online. So what's the best way for them to do that?
Indeed. Well, why don't you just email me, mark.smith, M-A-R-K dot S-M-I-T-H at Bijaco, B-I-J-A-C-O .com. And say, hey, I heard you on the Bacon podcast. Let's have a conversation. I'll give anybody 20 minutes of my time to listen and ask some pointed questions, and I might give you some pointed advice along the way. But if you like the point, then let's have a conversation. And also, let's connect on LinkedIn, because that's the way, of course, you can track me. And Mark's on LinkedIn.com, M-A-R-K-S-O-N, LinkedIn.com. That takes you directly to my profile. Yes, friends, make it easy for your customers to find you.
Well, my friend, as usual, you drop some incredibly hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I look forward to playing Where's Waldo, except changing and calling Where's Mark, in our next 17th Bacon podcast, whenever that comes up, because I know you're going to be in a different location where I'm talking to you today. So
I will. In fact, I might be in a different country by then.
Could be. So, my friend, always a pleasure. Thank you for coming on and sharing your time and your knowledge with my peeps. It is so appreciated.
Thank you. And it's a delight to share and a delight to be inspired by you.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.